apart from TV and cigarettes, they live like animals. That's what my next guest, Rachel Johnston, had to say about the lives of some of the people she encountered on the programme Famous, Rich and Hungry for Sport Relief. In the two-part series, Rachel and other well-off celebrities discover what life is like for the UK's poorest people. And last night's programme, Rachel found out how much money she would be given for 3 days.
I don't have. I've only got 40p, remember?
I've not got £2.
All right.
So we'll see if we can get some mints, and you can do your chilli.
That's 250.
Haven't got enough.
We need 9p. Should we ask someone?
You can have a
9p. Why not? I'll ask someone. It's all right. Excuse me, do you have 9p? Excuse me, do you have 9p? Is that all the money you've got in the whole world?
Well, I mean, I've got my bank card, but that doesn't have 9p.
So don't worry, thanks. Excuse me, do you have 9p that I can have in order to buy something in Iceland to feed a family? D?
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you very, very
much. Thank you very much,
thank you. Thank you. Dinner sorted.
So that's just a taste of the programme. She's actually back on tonight in the second part of the show. But although the programme does raise money for a very good cause, it's been criticised by some as poverty porn and a celebrity benefit straight. Rachel is with me now. Morning to you, Rachel.
Well, what did you think?
Good morning. It's not about what I think, is it? Because I'm hosting the show. But I'm interested in what you think, and I'm interested in what Brian Peelan thinks. He's also with us. Morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Stephen.
What did you think, Brian? What did you think?
I normally wouldn't watch this sort of programme at all. So after great pressing by your beautiful staff, I decided to sit down and watch it. And it was exactly what I thought it would be. Exactly what I thought it would be. Four people dipping into people's lives, poking around people's lives for a few days, and then leaving again back to their rich existence. I mean, I think really, if they really want to do top reality television, put them in for about a year, and don't put them in with anybody, just put them in a council flat or flat on the road.
Yeah, I think they've
totally on their own. I mean, for a year, would you do it for a year, Rachel?
No, I couldn't.
Exactly. I expect that to be your answer. I mean, I don't think you could do it for a year.
Well, let's let Rachel actually get a chance. Rachel, how do you respond to the criticism that you've just poked in and then away you go again?
Well, I think that's fair enough. I mean, I only spent a week down in Deptford and in Clacton, because tonight's episode is me going to stay with a family of ex-convicts in Clacton. And yes, of course, I didn't live with them for a long time. None of the participants, I might point out, to critics of the programme, were paid a penny for what they did. We all did it to raise awareness of food poverty, both the families we stayed with and the participants who gave up a week of their pampered, privileged lives to do this. So yes, you can criticise the format, but actually we're now talking about the fact that food is too expensive for people to afford to eat, let alone eat well.
And did you really say, Rachel, that some of these people live like animals?
What I said was that they had so little to do in their lives, they couldn't take a bus. They had no leisure, pleasure or travel. Essentially, they sat in their front rooms eating what they had in front of the TV. Yes, it is.
Apart from TV and cigarettes, you said, they live like animals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you read my piece on the Mail on Sunday, I qualified. I explained why I said it. Because there's no money to do anything else but have an existence rather than a life. You know, they were going from one crisis, one meal to the next. It was a sort of hunter-gathering. While I felt that the state and the electricity companies and debt collection companies were trying to take away from these people the very little they had.
What would you do if you were them? Would you live like an animal too?
I probably would. I think it's quite, you can get into that state of mind quite quickly, because you go to your local job centre, which you have to do in order to sign on to your benefits. There are no jobs with a 200-mile radius for you. You can do some volunteering. That's a way into work. But, you know, that's quite hard too. A lot of these people had dependents, so they couldn't really go out to work because then who would pick out the kids?
You see, Bran, I watched the programme last night and I've got to say I had an admiration for how some of those people with virtually no money, and I'm talking about pence, Brian, were able to keep going, were able to find food from somewhere, were able to get their kids to school. I had that sense within myself.
Well, that's one way to look at it, Stephen. You know, I mean, I would like to have the opportunity now on this program to say to Rachel, and I'm willing to do this because, I mean, you know, I'm not poverty, but, you know, I've had hard times and I've had to struggle and I'm, you know, I know what it's like. You know, I've had really tough times, not going to go into now, but I've had tough times when I was younger, etc. So I'd like to say to Rachel now, get out of our friends club together and take me away for a week. And I'd like to have a week, or take one of those families away for a week of high living, and show them what it's like to live. We have it all the time. I mean, maybe it's wrong, but...
No, I agree.
I looked at Rachel's Twitter account last night. It's terrible how Twitter you can look. Now, it made me laugh. This was just after the programme before, where you tweeted and you said, my hair doesn't look nearly so good at tomorrow night's episode, which is a major worry. I just thought that summed you up, Rachel. Your hair was a major worry in the programme and how you would look. Then there was the other guy called Jamie. He just kept hugging people. It was amazing. Every time they were in distress, he put his arm around them and then he would look at the camera with his big eyes, like something out of Bambi, and look at them. And if you can't see it, what that is, that's television turning their lives for a few days into a form of entertainment. You can talk about how it raises the issue, etc., and how sport relief is going.
Well, to be fair to her, it has raised the issue, because here we are talking about it now, and I'll tell you what, let's see how much money, again to be fair to Rachel, let's see how much money that was actually raised.
But that's the point I was going to make about it. The money that sports relief is going towards food banks. Food banks is not the solution to poverty. I mean, absolutely not. The rise in food banks in Britain at the moment and in Northern Ireland, and will be even more once the welfare cuts come into play. There was no political contact to the programme.
Let's let Rachel respond. Go on, Rachel.
Thank you.
I don't think that the money raised by Sport Relief is going to food banks. It goes to a wide distribution of UK charities. And UK poverty is one of the things they're obviously trying to address. It's really hard to address the causes of poverty. You know, people going on benefits, you know, is the end result of a long chain of bad things that have happened to them often. And, you know, you can't expect one person going into their house to have the answers to that. I mean, for example, Dee in Deptford had had a stroke. She had been widowed. Her daughters were, actually, I can't talk about those. You know, she had problems on all fronts. And yes, you know, this whole kind of gimmick of having a posh person slumming it in them is in many ways repulsive. I completely agree. But we all did it for charity to raise awareness. We're not giving money to food banks
Rachel, I'm sorry. I mean, I've never met you. We'll never probably ever meet. But that's not something to praise of you because you didn't take any money. You didn't need to take money. You know, I mean, you have money, so therefore you didn't give anything else apart from some of your time, and you've been talked about, etc., and programmed, etc.
You have no idea
Let's give her an opportunity. I will let you speak, and you are speaking a lot, Brian. Rachel, give us a sense of what it was like then for you. What was difficult?
I think it's really hard for Brian because, if you think about it, it was 2 hours of programming, four people, and eight families. So necessarily, you only see each person for 15 minutes in each episode. Okay, so what you saw of me was a narrative imposed by the production company that I'm a princess who lives in a rich, posh house, who goes and slums it on the streets of Deptford. That is television, Brian. I can't believe that you've taken it so literally and you've got so angry in such a short time and so vicious to me for about having done this. I find it actually quite upsetting.
And why did you do it, Rachel? What was your intent?
I'm a journalist and I didn't know nearly enough about the real deprivation on the streets of my brother's capital And I found it. I thought that was a worthwhile exercise. And if I could open people's eyes, lots of people are as blinkered as me in West London or in Hampstead or even in Hampshire. And I thought this was a worthwhile exercise. And I'm very sorry if you found it such an insult.
And if you were to sum up, Rachel, Brian, I'll come to you in a second. But Rachel, if you were to sum up what you did learn, what is it?
That anybody can be poor and anybody can be on their uppers. And I don't know who Brian thinks I am, but I could be in their shoes too.
Brian, you know, Rachel sounds sincere. She gave up her free time. Some other celebrities don't. And, you know, what has she got out of it? But Brian, if celebrities don't lend their names to try to raise awareness of this type of issue, then not enough people will know.
Well, OK, let me try and put this in context. In terms of me looking at this programme and what I think about it. As I said at the very start, it's not normally television I watch. Poverty goes on all the time. It's been going on for centuries in Britain. Dickens talked about it in his novels. It's not something new. It's been going on all the time. And it's to do with class and where you're born in class. And then there's also policies. There's no mention in the context of the programme of government policies that can make the situation worse, as in Britain, and cutting back on the welfare benefits. No context yet. And Rachel keeps on saying she's a journalist. Now, if you're a journalist, you investigate something, you talk to people, I've done that as well, and you ask the hard questions. Apart from
that wasn't the format of the programme, Brian.
But you can use format to say something. It's what you say when you're speaking or afterwards in programmes like this. You can say, well, okay, then, I didn't know there was terrible poverty. I now know there was terrible poverty. And I think maybe we should do this. Okay. I think you have to draw lessons from it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, listen,
yeah,
Brian.
Well, then can I direct you to my column on the Mail on Sunday, please, Brian, where I have set out some of my thoughts since I came away and what I think the government should do in relation to benefits, sanctioning, food banks, what the supermarkets should do with regard to their waste food.
Is this
we are going to leave it there, but thank you very much. Rachel, thank you, and Brian, thank you.